Dean hurries past the Phoenix Theatre, dodges a blind man in dark glasses, steps onto Charing Cross Road to overtake a slow-moving woman and pram, leaps a grimy puddle, and swerves into Denmark Street, where he skids on a sheet of black ice. His feet fly up. He's in the air long enough to see the gutter and sky swap places and to think, "This'll bloody hurt," before the pavement slams his ribs, kneecap and ankle. "It bloody hurts!" Nobody stops to help him up. Bloody London. A bewhiskered stockbroker type in a bowler hat smirks at the long-haired lout's misfortune and is gone. Dean gets to his feet gingerly, ignoring the throbs of pain, praying that nothing's broken. Mr. Craxy doesn't do sick pay. His wrists and hands are working, at least. The money! He checks that his bank book with his precious cargo of 10 5-pound notes is safe in his coat pocket. All's well. He hobbles along. He recognizes Rick, One Take Wakeman, in the window of the Gioconda Cafe across the street. Dean wishes he could join Rick for a cuppa, a smoke, and a chat about session work. But Friday morning is rent-paying morning, and Mrs. Nevitt is waiting in her parlour like a giant spider. Dean's cutting it fine this week, even by his standards. Ray's bank order only arrived yesterday, and the queue to cash it just now took 40 minutes. So he pushes on, past Lynch and Lupton's music publishers, where Mr. Lynch told Dean all his songs were shit, except the few that were drivel. Past Alf Cummings Music Management, where Alf Cummings put his podgy hand on Dean's inner thigh and murmured, "We both know what I can do for you, you beautiful bastard. The question is, what will you do for me?" And past Fungus Hut Studios, where Dean was due to record a demo with Battleship Potemkin before the band booted him out.
"Help, please, I'm..."
A red-faced man grabs Dean's collar and grunts,
"I'm..."
He doubles over in agony.
"It's killing me." "All right, mate. Sit down on the step here. Where's it hurt?"
Spit dribbles from the man's twisted mouth.
"Chest."
"It's okay. We'll get you help." He looks around, but people rush by with collars up, caps down, and eyes averted. The man whimpers and leans into Dean.
"Mate, I think you need an ambulance, so what seems to be the problem?"
The new arrival is Dean's age, has short hair and a sensible duffel coat. He loosens the collapsed man's tie and peers into his eyes.
"I say, my name's Hopkins. I'm a doctor. Nod if you understand me, sir."
The man grimaces, gasps, and manages to nod once. "Good." Hopkins turns to Dean.
"Is the gentleman your father?"
"Nah, I never seen him till now. His chest hurts," he said.
"Chest, is it?"
Hopkins removes a glove and presses his hand against a vein in the man's neck.
"Highly arrhythmic. Sir, I believe you're having a heart attack."
The man's eyes widen. Fresh pain scrunches them up.
"The cafe's got a phone," says Dean. "I'll call 999. "It'll never arrive in time," says Hopkins. "The traffic's blue bloody murder on Charing Cross Road. Do you happen to know Frith Street?"
"Yeah, I do.
And there's a clinic up by Soho Square." "Exactly. Run there as fast as you can. Tell them a chap's having a heart attack outside the tobacconist on Denmark Street, and that Dr. Hopkins needs a stretcher team, pronto. Got all that?"
"Hopkins, Denmark Street, stretcher. Got it."
"Good man. I'll stay here to administer first aid. Now run like the bloody clappers. This poor devil's depending on you."